Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Think about this. Think about this. As we're entering into this new year, 2016, where do we stand with Israel? Where does Israel stand? If you've been watching VFN TV and been a part of what we've been talking about with Israel and how relevant it is, if you bless Israel, you're blessed. If you curse Israel, you're cursed. And how we've been standing up for Israel all during this time, there's a reason why. Think about this. Could Israel have four more years left before they become totally independent, even of America's help, which we see it waning with these political leaders that we have during our day? Does that mean America has only 4 years left as we know it? I mean, we'll still be here, but 4 years left, all of a sudden a different paradigm with Israel? Let's join Perry Stone. Listen to what he's talking about as Israelis are talking about the future of Israel and how they're converting and God's given them the wisdom to be able to come off their dependence from everybody. Let's go. It's a prophetic event at Perry Stone's ministry. Take a look.
There will be something that will happen in the Western countries of Europe that will make Jewish people want to go back to Israel the same way they have gone back from the North and the East and the South. Now, I'm going to make another statement that sounds impossible to be fulfilled. There will be something happening in America which could years from now be a complete economic collapse in which Jewish people will pull their money out of the United States and actually physically move. Not, I'm not saying all of them will, but certain devout Jews will leave and go back to Israel. Let me tell you something, folks. Israel is one of those nations that the technology... Oh, I've got to say this. Should I say this? Let me say it real quick. If you watched me on Sid Roth's program, I made a statement. And Sid said, comment on this. I didn't go into great detail, but just enough, that I was with a professor. I'm not going to say who, what, when, where, or how. He's Jewish. And he doesn't quite believe the way we do about Christ or things, but he loves prophecy, but he loves politics too. He's very heavy into politics. And he looked at me eating at a breakfast one morning, him and I alone. He said, Reverend Stone, let me tell you something. He said, Israel is not going to need the United States in 4 years. And I said, you need to explain this to me. He says, first of all, he said, we're taking gas fields, we're producing gas fields and getting gas off the coast, and we're trying to turn everything into propane gas, all of our trucks, vehicles into propane gas so we can get totally free from Middle East oil and dependency on all these other countries. I said, number two, our military technology, we've had to depend on the United States and other countries for our technology. We now have our own scientists that can make our own technology. He went on down and talked about number three, how that they're farming, they're able to produce enough food to feed everybody in their country, then they can ship out 400 to 600% out to the world and have plenty of food for their own people through the deserts that are blossoming like a rose. And he talked about the medical technologies and the medical breakthroughs. I have been told by someone inside of Israel, they said, we can't go into the details, but Israel will eventually, over the years, find a cure for every disease on the planet. Now, I want to be careful here because of where our program goes, and be careful here what I say. But there are certain medicines and types of medical, help me here, what's the word I'm looking for? Methods that Israel is developing that they probably are not going to allow in the United States for one reason. I have been told this by a girl who makes money and gets awards selling pharmaceuticals. She said to me, do not use my name, but she says Israel has stuff coming out that might even treat Alzheimer's, can treat diabetes. In fact, they're predicting in a few years there'll be no diabetes in Israel with treatments they're coming up with. But I said, when is the U.S. going to get it? She said, no, probably not for a long time because the pharmaceutical companies make too much money selling pills. And you can't take away the money that they're making when they start developing. But I said, well, you know what? I'll just go to Israel and get my treatment. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can buy a plane ticket, you know, if I need treatment. Now I'm not saying he estimated that was the time frame. I do believe that's true. They're not going to have the United States. But the danger to the United States is that we need them. One of my favorite little T-shirts in Israel is a plane. It's an F-14 plane, and it says this, don't worry, America, Israel's behind you.
think about this. You heard firsthand when the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stood before Congress, which is America's representatives, and said, even if we have to stand alone, and it looks like Israel is preparing to stand alone, and prophetically, that's what we're going to see. But let's just take a look. When we get back from this break, let's just take a look at how God is blessing the agriculture of Israel, how God is blessing the medical. It's an amazing thing.
Think about 4 more years as we know it. What if all the money gets pulled out of Israel? You'd be surprised how much Jewish money's in Israel. Oh. And these things
in America.
In America. And in the world, talking about the euro and all that kind of stuff and the European Union. But just this look, because God is so blessed. He blesses those that are his. And no matter what's going on as you as a follower of Jesus Christ, you'll be blessed as well. But as a nation, Israel will always be blessed. And God will bless those who bless Israel. Look how they're being blessed, even through their agriculture, and how they're being he's blessed to be a blessing is what God. By the way, if you want to be really blessed, it's about blessed to be a blessing. And how God's blessing them in agriculture, they're just giving it away, helping other countries with their technology. You'd be surprised. You're eating food based on the techniques and technology and ideas that God gave Israel. Let's take a look and see, truly, in 4 years, will they be independent? Take a look.
In 1867, Mark Twain toured the land of Israel, known back then as Palestine. Here's how he described it. A desolate country whose soil is rich enough but is given over wholly to weeds, a silent, mournful expanse. There was hardly a tree or a shrub anywhere. Palestine sits in sackcloth and ashes, desolate and unlovely. Today, Mark Twain wouldn't even recognize this land. Out of rocky soil, out of swamps, and even out of deserts, Israelis have created gardens, vineyards, and farms with some of the most innovative techniques in the world.
It was just this country with incredible dynamism and energy and excitement and food and people and a sense of family and ultimately a sense of belonging.
It's been said that the modern state of Israel was born on the kibbutz. So it's only natural that much of Israel's innovation was born there as well.
The kibbutz is the cornerstone in a lot of ways of a lot of things in Israeli society.
People came back wanting to create a collective and an equal society. And these kibbutzim became a very, very effective way to defend the land, to start getting young people engaged in agriculture. Remember, Jews were forbidden in most countries of the world to actually own land or to work the land. Jews couldn't be farmers. To all of a sudden see a generation of Jews farming the land in a collective environment, it was incredible.
Before Israel even became a state, Jews by the thousands came to live there on communal farms. But when they arrived in the Promised Land, it wasn't exactly flowing with milk and honey. The coastal plains were swampy, the Galilee and the Judean hills were rocky, and the southern half of the country was mostly desert.
Since the people of Israel left our homeland 2,000 years ago, the area was mismanaged. So we want to preserve and rehabilitate this holy land.
The early Jewish settlers faced a number of obstacles, from bad soil to Bedouin raiders. But they faced an even bigger enemy that threatened to destroy the Jewish state before it began. In the early decades of the 20th century, Israel was a breeding ground for mosquitoes carrying malaria. They overtook the coastal plains and the Jordan Valley, the only land available for Jews to buy since the local Arabs had decided it was uninhabitable. In 1920, more than a third of all Jewish residents of Palestine had malaria. So with no other choice, they went to work. They drained the swamps and sprayed the land and changed the flow of water and irrigation canals to interrupt the mosquitoes' breeding. They were so successful that a commission from the League of Nations visited Palestine to learn what they did. Less than 20 years after Israel's statehood, the country was officially malaria-free. Once the threat of malaria was gone, Jewish settlers were free to focus on making the desert bloom. In the coastal plains, citrus groves replaced the swamps. And the Jordan Valley, once the center of the malaria epidemic, now became the country's breadbasket. The Negev Desert blossomed with newly planted forests and vineyards. And the Arava, once the most arid part of Israel, became the site of a flourishing vegetable industry. All of this was accomplished in the first 20 years of Israel's statehood. In that time, they more than doubled their standard of living. And now they're using their experience to help other countries. In the 1970s, they created a new breed of cherry tomato that's disease resistant and has a longer shelf life. They also bred a new kind of potato that can be grown in hot, dry climates and irrigated by salt water. These vegetables are now being grown in dry countries like Jordan, Egypt, and Morocco. Israeli scientists not only found ways to grow more crops, they also found new ways to preserve them. GrainPro cocoons provide an inexpensive way for farmers to keep their grain market fresh by keeping out water, air, and insects. The Israeli cocoons are being used in Africa, the Far East, and even Pakistan, a nation with no diplomatic ties to Israel.
The kibbutz over time began to change. Israeli society began to change, became more capitalistic, became more focused on free enterprise and entrepreneurship and the individual taking responsibility for himself and therefore benefiting the overall society. There have been many very exciting companies that have been built in kibbutzim.
One of those companies is now doing business around the world.
He went to the average Israeli 10, 12 years ago and said to them, organic, they wouldn't have a clue what you were talking about. Here we've been doing organic farming for over 40 years.
Kibbutz Ste Eliyahu was founded by German refugees in 1934, and many of their early members were survivors of the Holocaust.
The biggest problem that we had when we started the organic was, what do you do if you're not using chemicals? How do you get rid of the pests?
Their answer was to fight bugs with more bugs.
Every single thing in nature has a natural enemy. What eats or what attacks these pests that are attacking our crops?
They started breeding different insects in the bomb shelter of the kibbutz. The idea was to breed predators to destroy the pests that ate their crops. The result was a new company called BioBee.
We went to the Israeli farmers. We said, you want to buy some bugs? They said, what, are you crazy? We don't have enough bugs in the field. You want us to buy bugs?
Eventually, they won over farmers in Israel and in 32 other countries as well. In California, 60% of the strawberry fields are treated with products from BioBee. The company also found a way to deal with one of the region's most devastating insects, the Mediterranean fruit fly.
We take the males of the species and we sterilize them. And then we release the sterile males into the environment. There's no future generation. And slowly, slowly, we lower the population without using harmful chemicals.
They also solved another agricultural problem, how to pollinate greenhouse plants.
The classic example we like to give is tomato plants. Tomato plants in nature, in the fields, are pollinated by the wind. In Israel, the majority of our tomatoes are not grown in the fields. They're grown in greenhouses. And in a greenhouse, in a climate-controlled environment, you don't have that wind. You don't have the natural pollination. We had to find other methods of pollination.
Their solution was to breed bumblebees.
They collect pollen for food. They have to go and work even in cold weather conditions. They don't have stores of honey in the hive. They have to go and work. We're saving the farmer money because instead of paying people, the bees are doing the work. And the bees, unlike people, they don't miss a single flower. So once the farmers started using the bees for pollination, the yield of the tomato crops increased by 25%. In Hebrew, we say, Marabu Ma'aseh Elokim, you know, how great and wonderful are your creations, God. And this really shows that every single thing has a reason. There's a purpose for everything, these tiny little things. And look how much good they do for us, for the world, for the farmers, for the environment. It's really, really amazing.
Farmers at Ste Eliyahu not only targeted insects, they also found a creative way to get rid of rodents as well.
What we used to do is basically used to take poison in a bottle, in a teaspoon. And somebody's job was to walk up and down the rows, and every time they saw a mouse hole, to take a teaspoon of poison and throw it down the hole. Now, obviously, that's not ecologically friendly. On top of that, if it rains or if we irrigate our fields, all that poison's going in the grounds. So we said, what is a natural solution to rodents? And the natural solution that we found is the barn owl. Barn owl is an amazing raptor. Two owls can capture an average of 2,000 to 5,000 mice a year. Okay, that's a lot of rodents.
There was just one problem with the owls.
They fly away. And one of the places they would fly to is Jordan, which is very close by. In Jordan, they were shooting them. In Arab folklore, the barn owl is a harbinger of death. And they're very superstitious about barn owls. So they see in a barn owl, they shoot it. So very simply, we went to Jordan, and we invited the Jordanian farmers to come to Staliau to see what we were doing here. This was over 20 years ago. And today, we have over 2,600 nesting boxes across the country. Numbers keep growing. But also, it's become a wonderful program of regional cooperation, also with Jordan, also with the Palestinian Authority. This has been amazing, amazing success story. We tell the people it's not the dove bringing peace anymore to the Middle East, it's the barn owl. We're a light unto the nations, we're supposed to be anyway. If we want to really save the environment, if we really want to help the world, then we can't keep these things to ourselves. We have to share these things, we have to share this knowledge, and I think by helping others, we're helping ourselves as well.
Well, think about it. That's a powerful. You can see how, I mean, that was just their first 20 years. So you can see how in 4 years, that is highly probable
Amazing.
For that to take place. And we're going to even talk about the medical advancements that they've had. They have even more since we've shown this. But when you see it, you're going to be really saying, my goodness, things that we're touching every day, God had blessed Israel to teach them how to do something. They shared it with us. 60% of the strawberries that we get from California comes benefit of what Israel's doing and so many other things. Make sure you join us in our next program, because we're going to be talking about, you know, here we are, here this prophecy is coming back. And literally, he's talking evidentiary things, saying in the next 4 years, Israel will be independent, and they'll be able to take care of themselves militarily, economically, medically, all these different areas. And they're kind of having to because of what America has been doing, backing off from being standing with them. But how 2020 seems to be some epic date taking place, because we're going to talk about in our next program how Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, is saying that Facebook will be smarter than a human being in 5 years, which is 2020. There's so many things happening in 2020, 2025, which is just flies by. Time just super flies by. But we want to be able to pay attention to Israel and understand, you know, you want to be a friend of Israel. You know, by standing with VFN TV, you stand with Israel.
Most definitely.
You know, we financially are connected. We are the ones talking about Israel. And
Greg, right now on the torch, over 600, 700 individualized segments just on Israel alone.
You need to get educated. You can get educated at VFNTV.com. But let's just take a look at medical, how God is blessing Israel. And he said he'll bless Israel, and he's doing it. And this is what Israel is. Israel is a shout. It's an exclamation mark saying God exists. God is real. Everything God said is true and is coming to pass. He's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. Look, the biggest scene on earth is going to be what God does in Israel. Jesus is going to come back and rule for 1,000 years from the seat in Jerusalem. It's exciting. But take a look, because the question was, remember, the word was, in 4 years, 4 years from today, Israel will be self-sufficient, will not need the United States, pull their money out of different nations, including America, which means some sort of financial crisis will come, which we've been talking about. And it's a shifting taking place. Let's just take a look at the medical and what God is doing there, because he talked about all these diseases being healed and these pharmaceutical advances taking place. And it's amazing. Take a look.
On January 8th, 2011, a gunman opened fire in Tucson, Arizona. His target was Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who was shot in the head at point-blank range. To stop the bleeding, EMTs used a special bandage that puts pressure on wounds and prevents infection. First responders said the bandage saved Giffords' life, and it's one of many medical breakthroughs that got its start in Israel.
Israel has one of the highest life expectancies in the world. Actually, our life expectancy here is about 4 years longer than the U.S. So if anyone wants to come move to Israel, on average, you're going to add 4 years to your life.
From fighting cancer, to giving sight to the blind, to making the lame walk again, Israel is leading the world in medical innovation. Every day, millions of Americans use some kind of medical treatment that came from Israel. From Sambucol, a cold and flu medicine made from elderberries, to amniocentesis, used to detect prenatal abnormalities. There's a wireless laser that will someday replace the dentist drill, and the pill cam, a tiny camera in a capsule. It takes pictures from inside your colon, eliminating the need for a colonoscopy.
Millions and millions and millions of these procedures are done every year. What if you could make them painless, pain-free, and non-invasive, and take a lot of the risk out of that procedure? That's a classic Israeli solution to a problem.
In the field of medicine, finding a cure for cancer is one of the biggest goals. And although a full cure is still in the future, Israeli scientists are making huge advances. The news is full of stories about dogs who can smell everything from epilepsy to cancer in their owners. So one scientist took that idea and refined it.
If the dogs can smell cancer, we for sure can do it in a little bit more sophisticated way. We can communicate with the device much better than we can communicate with the dog.
Hossam Haik developed an early warning system for cancer. The nano artificial nose can detect tumors before they're even visible on x-rays, just by analyzing a patient's breath.
The device can give the results within 5 minutes to 1 hour, more or less. Many diagnostic tools require to swallow a radioactive or active material into in order to make the diagnosis possible. We don't expose it to any risky x-rays or beams that might make cancer by themselves.
The artificial nose is still in clinical trials, where the accuracy rates range from 86 to 97%. And it's also being customized to sniff out other diseases as well, like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis.
Our ultimate vision is to bring this device in an inexpensive and very portable way to everybody, whether these people live in the Western countries or they live in the third world, because we believe that we have to fulfill a little bit democracy.
Other Israeli scientists are focusing on the treatment of cancer, and they're doing everything from burning tumors with thermal heat to freezing them with liquid nitrogen. One doctor is even developing a vaccine for cancer. The Immucin vaccine trains the body's immune cells to attack a specific molecule found only in cancer. And since only the cancer cells are targeted, the vaccine has no side effects like chemo and radiation. With one shot every few months, the body's immune system will keep it under control.
We're just educating the immune system to do what it, you know, would try to do itself. We're not inventing anything.
In the first clinical trial, the vaccine successfully triggered the immune system in all 15 patients.
You will see in the future, I think we enter a field which is very attractive, and we just scratched the beginning of it. I think we have a lot of more things to come, and I'm very encouraged by what I've seen.
In 1829, the introduction of Braille revolutionized the way blind people read and write. Today, Israeli inventors are taking that revolution a step further. For people with limited sight, there's a new device called the OrCam. It's a pocket-sized computer linked to a small camera that clips onto your glasses. The camera sees what you see. And when you point your finger at something, the OrCam will read it for you. Everything from menus to street signs. And for those with total vision loss, there's Project Ray, the first ever smartphone for the blind. With the tap of a finger, users can make phone calls, send texts, and even surf the web. While these inventions are giving blind people more independence, another one is actually restoring their sight. A company called NanoRetina is focusing on people who have lost their sight from macular degeneration. They've created the Bionic Eye, an implant that provides users with grayscale vision, a big improvement over total blindness.
Necessity is mother of all inventions. And Israelis sometimes tend to think outside of the box. And if there is an obstacle, we do not hit our forehead at the obstacle, but we go around it. We found a solution.
One of those solutions is giving new life to people who were told they would never walk again.
I couldn't understand why wheelchairs are the only solution to, for a paralyzed person.
In 1997, a meat gopher was paralyzed in a car accident. And since then, he's been on a mission to put the wheelchair out of business. So he designed something called the ReWalk, a brace that uses motors to help paraplegics walk and even drive a car. Ironically, Gopher couldn't use his own invention, since he's a quadriplegic and the device requires the use of the arms. But he soon found a veteran who was more than willing to try it.
When the doctor told me that I'm lucky to be alive, but my injury would leave me paralyzed, everything became dark.
Radi Kayof is a former Israeli paratrooper who was injured in South Lebanon.
In one of the rehabilitation centers in central Israel, I met Amit Gofer. He told me that he had developed a device that helps paraplegic in my condition to walk. I didn't believe I'd be able to stand up. After I tried it and the device made me stand up, I was amazed. My daughter was 3 years old back then. She looked at me and said, "Dad, you are tall." That made my day.
The bottom line is seeing the families, it is very exciting. They see their beloved one stand, then you want to cry. This is the first time I was really excited.
Radi started using the ReWalk 6 years ago. And since then, the device has gone global. In 2012, a young woman named Claire Lomas used the ReWalk in the London Marathon. She walked the 26 miles in 17 days, earning her the nickname Bionic Woman.
It's a moment I'm going to treasure for the rest of my life.
I dance 4 times a week, and I love it very much. And I knew that I'm not going to stop just because I am diabetic.
Shai Barshira is a dancer, a student, and a type 1 diabetic. She is also a pioneer. Shai was one of the first people to try a new Israeli medical device, the artificial pancreas. It's still in the experimental stage, and right now it's just a laptop with a series of sensors that monitor the patient's blood sugar. Eventually, the laptop will be replaced by a microchip and an insulin pump. Dr. Moshe Philip is one of the developers.
I promised my patient many times that one day they will get rid of their diabetes. So despite the fact that we are not able to cure diabetes yet, we would like to enable our patient to live their life without thinking of their diabetes all the time. You have to understand type 1 diabetes, especially during childhood, is something that keeps you busy the entire day. It's there all the time.
Dr. Philip oversaw clinical trials for children in Israel, Slovenia, and Germany. But Shai was the first one to use the device at home without medical supervision.
Each time that my levels drop, it gives me a very, very strong alarm. It tells me that I have to eat right away. And if my levels go very high, it fixes my levels. It calculates itself how much insulin I should take, and it gives an automatic order to my pump to give me that insulin. And I'm all balanced, even more balanced than I was when I went to sleep. And that's amazing.
I think we are going to change the life of our patients. And this is the entire idea, to bring back the spontaneity to the life of our patient, to free them from being busy with thinking about how to control their blood glucose level all the time, and especially during the night.
I feel there is so much effort made to help the diabetics feel like, you know what, you have this disease, but don't worry. We're trying to cure it. We're trying to make the treatment better, more comfortable, and we'll get there. Feeling that I help other people too, it gives me the strength to keep on. If I am a part of something big, I feel that I'm not alone in this business, and it gives me a lot of hope.
Just think about that. You know, you hear the word being given, you know, by Perry Stone, but then we're showing you very specifics how God's been doing it. And it's not just medical or agriculture, but it's water. You know, water is a very important thing, especially for what's coming on the face of the earth.
That's California.
Technology, and even how to do it in a green way to be able to do it. It's just amazing. We have all that available for you on the VFN Torch. But the big question we got to ask ourselves, and we'll talk more about this after this break, is, okay, let's just say that happens in 4 years. Something happens during this time, financial crisis, persecution. It causes the Jews to begin to come together in Israel. They're going to pull their money out when they go. You know, what's going to happen to the rest of the world? What's going to happen to the rest of the world when Israel stands alone? We're going to be blessed more by Israel, obviously. But what Mark Zuckerberg said, the founder of Facebook, which has 1.7 billion, John, active users every day of his technology, Facebook, Messenger, Instagram, all these different things they own, but they're gathering all this data on everyone. We're going to talk about that in our next program because he's saying this Facebook will be smarter than human beings. And China is rating their citizens on how good you are through a social media network where people are actually saying you're a C, you're a B, you're an A, you're
almost
a D,
like
you're
a credit
an F.
score.
It's like a credit score. We're going to be talking about that in our next program because in the next 5 years, the world as you know it is shifting. When Israel is shifting and they're coming together and the potentiality of them being self-sufficient and withdrawing their need from having to have anybody else, including the United States. And we saw during President Barack Obama's administration, America rip away from standing like we've always stood with the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, and Israel in a horrific way. We've been talking about it the whole time. But I'm telling you, these are very interesting days. And for the church, it means, you know, the Lord is soon to return. Think about that. You know, and just adding to some of it is they found oil in the Golan Heights. I mean, reportedly a greater reserve than anyone has.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about the Golan Heights, it's right there on the Syrian border. When you have Russia coming in, showing a presence like they are in Syria, some of the reports are the reason why they are is they want some of that oil because that borders, the Golan Heights borders, that oil reserves they found borders right there in Syria. Maybe they can drill sideways and do all that stuff that people do.
Wow.
But it's like God is getting things set. This is so exciting because we know that prophetically, which means God telling us the history in advance, he told us these things are going to happen, but we're seeing it happen in our very time, in our season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Israel became a nation in 1948, the clock began to happen because this generation will not pass until our Lord returns. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but the season is so here.
That's right.
And who said, as one particular prophetic dream was given to Michael Bodea, that America has to be the lead currency, you know, the lead economy. And it looks like Israel is going to be the lead. Israel's going to be the lead.
All signs are pointing that way, aren't
they?
Yes,
yes. And remember these days. And let me tell you something, too. I want to encourage you. The majority of folks don't see the relevance of standing with Israel. You want to stand with Israel. Understand, God said, if you bless Israel, I'll bless you. But if you curse Israel, and that's even supporting people who curse Israel, who hurt Israel, who provoke the enemies against Israel, who sign treaties with the enemies of Israel, and those type of things. You know, it's going to come back on you, but you can stand with Israel. And one way to do that, of course, is standing with VFN TV. But the big question is, because you're looking, what, 15 million folks there in Israel?
8 million.
8 million Jews. but I don't know about the whole population.
I think total population is 8 million.
Okay, 8. So look at that. And imagine how, of course, you have 8 million Jews probably in America, mm-hmm. and you have other Jews that start coming together. It's not a lot of folks coming mm-hmm. together. At least you want to go to Israel. Anyway, the question is, if that's what's going to happen to the small piece of real estate, which may probably is going to advance.
Won't be that small.
Got a land grab coming. And we talked about that before, because they're going to have to defend themselves. And in that, they're going to acquire land again.
Interestingly enough, every time they defend themselves, their country continues to expand. So right. careful.
Where they're forced to defend themselves. Yeah. And of course, what our president said that, you know, Israel has to go back to its 1967 borders. That the response of that, according to Chuck Pierce, was out of Zion Ministries, mm-hmm. is that now America has to go back to 1967. Do you know what happened in 1967?
Hmm.
Horrific things. But also the 25th Amendment was established and adopted in 1967.
In 1967.
67. It says when a president is incapacitated or dies in office, that this is what the requirements that was established in 1967.
Wow.
Because of course you had John F. Kennedy was assassinated in 1963, you know, and one more year Robert Kennedy and Dr. King was assassinated, and that was on the minds of, but there was riots, the 1967 war happened, the Six-Day War, you had North Korea fired hydrogen bombs. I mean, all these things that you're seeing happen back in 67, riots were scattering all over the streets of America and the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's happening right now, the same thing that was happening in 67. So it looks like Chuck Pierce's prophetic word where you heard from the Lord said, because the president said that Israel, America's leader said Israel has to go back to its 1967 lines, which we know those are undefensible borders, then America will have to go back to the 1967. But the thing about it is we're not going to go back to that technology. We're going to have all of our same issues today with the 1967 issues coming up.
Wow.
And we're seeing every bit of that. So what's going to happen? You know, people are going to cry out for control and help, and you're going to see. Make sure you get our next joint. Watch our next program, because we're going to talk about what's going to happen in 4 years for the rest of the world. What's going to happen in 5 years? And technology is kicking in place to fulfill even Revelation chapter 13, where it says you can't buy or sell without being able to have some sort of identification to be able to do that. And people are crying out, "Give us an identification! Give us
one more! One more!"
It's amazing what's taking place. But I want to pray for you right now. And I just want to thank you for praying for us, because we so need you to be able to stand with us. And I just want to pray for you now. Father God, we just call out to you right now. We thank you for your protection. We ask you, Lord, to protect Israel. We thank you, Lord, how you're blessing Israel on so many different levels, Father
yes.
God. We pray for the protection of the Jewish people all over the face of the earth, not just you know, in Israel, but also in Israel, Father God. Lord, and forgive the sin of this nation for standing with the enemies of Israel. And Father God, I pray, Lord God, that we would learn and grow from what you're teaching, the wisdom that you're giving away to Israel, that we could learn how you are and how good you are, Father God, and that if we'll just humble ourselves and seek your face, I know, and turn from our wicked ways, I know, Father God, that you will lead us through this. Lord, and I just pray for those that are alert and aware, Father God, that they would see that the goodness of the Lord is here, just to look up, because our redemption is drawing nigh. In Jesus' name. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.